Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, I'm grateful to Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, who's given me the opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I thank God for all you that are listening to the broadcast. And once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at. Doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. Those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us. The email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we'll give unto you. Praise be to God. So, once again, for those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, it's Friday. And you know what that means, heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and I will be joining them. And right now, as we await for my brother to come on to head this off, once again, I'm going to take this opportunity to thank God for all of you that have been listening to us, give you the gospel over these past 3 years. Lord, say the same, this coming December will make 4 years, and I'm very humbled to have this opportunity to share the word of God with all of you that are listening. Amen. Truly, indeed, it is a blessing. I want to encourage you all once again to seek to come closer to Christ. Amen. Because we're going to need it, need Him in these last days. We're going to need to know Him personally for ourselves, the things that we're about to face and encounter. We think that it's pandemonium going on now with this coronavirus. Brothers and sisters, we haven't seen the fullness yet of the things to come. And this is not a message to scare anyone. This is a message that to prompt you to get prepared, because it's very important. And too many of us have gone on with a nonchalant spirit, non-caring, and we think that with that type of spirit, God is just going to automatically trouble come up, we just get snatched out of it. All of that. We think it's all going to be automatic. Well, I really feel bad because for some in these last days are going to be shocked what they going to see. And I'm talking about those who have been taking the Lord Jesus Christ for granted. You know, you can come with many testimonies of how Jesus delivered you, set you free, did magnificent things spiritually, magnificent things naturally for you, and yet still you don't give Him the time that He deserves. Well, I'm here to tell you that by you not giving Him the time, it's going to cause you to suffer. Now, some of you, you know, you're hearing me, but you're not hearing me. Well, I'm going to tell you the time's going to come. You're really going to hear. Just pray that it don't be too late. God bless you, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, my dear beloved brother. Great and a gorgeous and wonderful day the Lord God has given us. So we rejoice. We must and will rejoice in it. We will rejoice in Him and what He has obtained with us when He was lifted up on the tree between two thieves. Redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration. And not leaving out justification. Blessed.
Amen.
So it's a wonderful day, wonderful hour, and a wonderful moment. The Lord God has given us this moment in the history of His planning. Imagine that. Brother, how awesome the Lord God has purpose and plan and given us this moment and this hour that we are alive. For not accident, no chance, but has foreordained and caused us to be living in this very moment towards eternity. And he must have had a real good reason for us to be born and alive on this day from the beginning of the world. We are alive and talking to one another. And the awesome wonder of that moment that we have been given today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad because he has ordained that we should have no failures. He has ordained that we should have no defeats, but victory and the kingdom of God to be planted in the whole of the world. So I rejoice in it. I rejoice. Handmaidens all around the world, women of God, I salute you in the name of the Lord Jesus and the power of his gospel. I salute you, mothers and wives and ambassadors and medical and botanists and biologists and physics and wherever you are helping and teaching to make a better planet and better nations and better people, I salute you. Amen. All right, Brother Nathaniel Hart.
Amen.
Yeah. So we are still here on the top side of the earth. And that's an awesome thing. One more day we live because he commanded life. That's an awesome thing to say we are alive because he commanded life with purpose. So we're not alive this one day just to be here. We found out Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3 explains why he has ordained and called us to this moment. You know, we were called to this moment. The reason we are here, we have been called to live and come forth this moment. Before the foundation of the world, he had plan and purpose. And I know people like to gamble and apply luck, you know, apply luck, maybe I might get lucky. And a lot of people in this world are depending on luck and chance or vanity. But thank the Lord, because of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and laying his life for redemption, recovery, reconciliation, and restoration, we have been ordained to be a part of the restoration of all things. Can imagine that? He said, the restoration of all things is the last message before Christ comes. Can you imagine that? Acts 3, Amen. 18 to 22, Matthew 17, 9 to 13, that we have been planted, Brother Nate. We were not born by accident by your mom and dad. We was planted from heaven to be here. Like Jeremiah said, from my mother's womb, I have ordained thee to be in my purpose and call for to obey if you're willing. So here we are talking to one another. From eternity back to time, we live today. And I know a lot of people say, I got here because my mom and father got here. No, I go a little further than that, bro. Go a little further than that. No, I'm sorry. Sorry, but no accident happened on this watch. No. Your mom and your daddy didn't just get together. And I would say, no, God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they had a plan. And so we're living this day to help fulfill his righteous planning. So let's rejoice and be glad, brother.
Amen.
Amen. Rejoice. Be glad. So how was the, it was kind of warm today, very hot. And on my side. And so how was it in your day, in your place? Did it have a lot?
Yeah, it's hot. The humidity has risen up some in the past few days, kind of like it was like 3 or 4 weeks ago. It not as bad, but it has risen up some. Once again, I tell anyone, if you're not drinking enough water, Mississippi will show you if you haven't been drinking.
Hey, go down to Mississippi to help you. Go down to Mississippi and help you to fall in line and drink that gallon of water today. Pure water, clean water.
You're definitely going to do that. Because when things start moving, brother, that got no business moving, I guarantee you, you're going to go get some water. Okay.
But, you know, the Lord is trying to teach us about living long and prosper, being held. Hey, you got to cooperate. Two-thirds of the earth is in and out of water. And so two-thirds of your body is in and out of water. So you better drink some good, pure, spring out of the earth water if you want to stay in health. Hallelujah. If you want to stay in health, beloved, you got to drink pure, cleaned, maybe spring or alkaline water. I mean a lot of it to ensure that you will be healthy. I thank God. And you're going to get a certain amount of good healthy juice when you eat peaches or, you know, and apples and mangoes and all the strawberries and blueberries and whatever berries we got. Those are for your perfect health. They are for your renewing of your health. And if you want to be in health, and God wants you to be in health, but you got to walk as the wise and not the foolish. Now, I don't care how much you got faith, if you don't have wisdom with it, you're going to mess up. What do you think about that, brother?
Amen. 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 Yes, that's 100% true, brother. I had to learn that lesson the hard way, but, you know, you know what a hard head would do, and it did. Okay.
Yeah, we all, most a lot of people had to learn some hard tackle lessons before they really learn. They just wouldn't learn no other way. It's just us human beings to trace through the forward that we're just, a lot of people are not going to learn unless it has to be the hard way. But the Lord wants us to learn the easy way, just listening to him and do it. But no, we had to go through all the pain and suffering and agony just to get us to learn. And some people don't even recover. The sad thing about that, because of the hardness of our heart, refuse to submit to wisdom, we pay a price, and sometimes people don't recover. I think a lot of people are suffering things because they won't listen to wisdom and divine direction. I think a lot of people are suffering in their bodies, in their minds, their home, their finance, all the areas, because we won't listen and learn sound wisdom and knowledge. Even the revelation of Jesus Christ. I think that a lot of my suffering unneedless come from me not listening, hallelujah, to the Most High God. And that's, you bring physical, emotional, mental, business, financial, well, whatever you want to name it. Thank you, Jesus. But the Lord came to redeem us from that foolish knowledge. Now go on and drink your water and bless the Lord. And there's a many nations, brother, wish they had some pure water. You know that? There's two-thirds of the earth. There's so many nations in the earth that haven't drought and bad water and no water. They wish, they would pray that they would have what America has. I just think they'll be jumping up and down and shouting, and you couldn't hold them down. And do you know, America, that we are probably blessed in many areas of life as a nation, as a people. Even the poor people are blessed compared to many other nations. You know, poor people in America, in some nations, will be called well off.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. The poor people that we call poor in America standard, in many other nations will be called okay. You're going pretty good. Wow.
Yeah.
How much food do you think what we call poor people throw away every day or every week, but how much food do you think they waste and throw away?
Ooh, Lord. One statistic I saw, we throw away 31.9%, brother, of the food
no,
we buy.
Bro. No.
31.9. As almost half.
Now, how many? No. We wouldn't waste God's goods that way. We would not be a wasteful nation that God has favored us with such substance and such blessing and throw it in the garbage can? No, we wouldn't do that.
We got more. I think the statistics say it come out to an average of 219 pounds per person. I think that was the figure on it. You know, of food we throw out in the year. Wow.
No. We would not insult and disrespect the living God who has given us a bounty blessing in a blessed bounty nation and throw away his blessing. I waste it. And many millions of people could be living, and we could give it to them. We could send help to them. We could give to the starving, the poor, the lacking in many nations who are starving, malnutrition, who are crying out today. I know we wouldn't throw it. I know we not. No, not America, the Christian nation, brother. We wouldn't do that, would we?
Oh, yeah. Because you know what we're concerned about? We're concerned about the animals. That's why our stray dogs getting big and fat.
I'm glad that they're concerned about the animals. But you mean tell me they care more about the animals than the people that made in God's image and likeness?
That's right. Fluffy come first, brother.
Man, I see the Fluffy getting more primetime treatment. He getting his hair done, his nails, and he getting his shampoo. And wow. It's okay to care about your animals. I agree we should take care of the animals of God. But here you putting them before God's image, man's creation, who made it God. You mean tell me we loving the animals more and they get better treatment than we are, bro? Oh, wow.
Oh, yes, sir.
Wow.
Animal getting the treatment, they getting in the house, the couches, everything. They get the bed, full treatment.
He got his own special bed, his air conditioned, his little room, his couch, and he eats at the – oh, wait a minute, hold on. At the table where we eat, Fluffy's eating at the table with us?
Fluffy's at the table, brother. He's at the table. He's eating with you.
And what are you doing? He's kissing the human being in the mouth while he's eating, right?
Oh, all straight up, brother. Straight up.
Fluffy
is now a member of the family.
He's the family. And another human being, maybe of a different color, can't even come to the back door. Wow.
Dude.
That's
something,
brother.
We're going to call the police brother. On you, brother.
Huh?
We're going to call the police on you. We're going to call the police on you if you do that.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that something, comparatively speaking? Maybe I'll be maybe another culture and another color, and you might, you know, I may be disregarded because of my different color, but Fluffy, sitting at the table on the couch, got his air conditioned. Wow. Brother, not
right.
This Christian nation you would call America. I know you're not talking about this great Christian nation that we call America. I know you're not talking about them. No.
Oh, yeah. We didn't gravitate it to the animals now, brother. That's where we at.
My God, the snakes, the squirrels, the parrots getting ultimate treatment and lifting our nose as human beings. I don't think the Lord would be well pleased with it. You think the Lord would be pleased with that, well pleased with that?
I don't think he'll come near to being pleased, brother. I don't think he'll come near.
Wow. I don't think the Lord would be well pleased with that either. Doing his creation, man, treating animals and your flowers better than man. Now, you should cultivate your flowers in your yard and spend all that money in watering them. But what about the thousands and hundreds of orphans and widows and sick and depressed people around the world who are crying? And how much pennies and how much time and how much prayer are you giving them? Jesus said, remember those who are suffering, those who are hungry, orphans and the widows. He said, remember them and have compassion. Wow. Well, okay. I guess we might as well start repenting right now, right, brother? Lord, would you forgive us?
Amen.
I'm confessing for myself and for all these other millions of people. I am acknowledging and humbling ourselves. Would you have grace and mercy upon us for our loving and caring about other things more than mankind. Would you forgive us? Would you forgive us our arrogant pride that we see the poor, the hungry, the needy, the destitute, the sick, the people in famous lands who are starving, and we don't lift our hands, but Fluffy and the dog and the parrot and the snake is getting great treatment, and the cat is riding in the Cadillac on a soft pillow. But the poor, the sick, the destitute, the homeless, the helpless, you do not notice. Help us to come to understanding, Lord. Would you forgive us for our arrogant stupidity? We thank you, Lord. Bring us to light and to understanding, to care about your creation and care about one another. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Wow. Do you think that
keep
when
going,
we...
brother.
Huh? Thank you, Jesus.
Keep going. I have someone at the door. Keep going.
Okay. I just want to say to the people about the world, tonight and this particular week, give special honor and recognition to the women, especially the women of God and women of Christ of the kingdom of God around the world. To those our sisters who are in Paraguay or Bermuda, Carolinas, Caribbean, Samoa, Vietnam, Laos, Australia, in the islands, in Mexico, Brazil, Russia, China, North Korea, South Korea, Saudi Arabia, Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Ethiopia, Egypt, and all parts of Africa, Egypt, Ethiopia, Libya, North, East, or South. And we acknowledge all the Spanish and the Asian, the Japan, and the women and mothers and that are taking care of the children and looking after the home and raising the next generation, preparing the next generation. We honor the mothers and the wives who care, who are doing their best and their excellent work to give love and training to the children and taking care of their husbands. Now, if you're not married, I don't know how far we're reaching in other nations. They have different rules about marriage and home. But the biblical marriage, the Bible marriage, which mostly Western worlds go or know about, it is not the girlfriend, the boyfriend, and the pimp, and the stuff like that. That's the devil's game. But God has got a better plan called the covenant of marriage commitment. So
okay,
I hope you come to that.
Amen.
All right. Okay. All right. So it's just a great day today. Hallelujah. Thank God. So we honor the women. Any particular nation come to your mind that we honor the women, the mothers and the medical missionaries, the teachers, the lawyers, the activists? I commend the women who are marching for the right to vote. You know that a time back in American history, they didn't allow women to vote and have a voice until 19, the suffrage, that you know some of the black women, they're not given credit, but they were some of the first women way back to Phyllis Wheatley, way back in slavery time, that back in Sojourner Truth, and that black women, even back after slavery, was fighting for women to have a right to voice and to vote. Now that's something. Amen.
Amen.
So the right to vote, to have a voice in your nation, your community, is a thing that the Lord ordained from the beginning, that all people in the latter day would have a right to put what king they want, what government, what ruler they want to vote for. So I encourage everyone to vote. I encourage you in America who have the privilege to vote, especially black people who could not vote for many, many decades in many, many parts of America. We were not allowed to vote. So I want to cherish the freedom and liberty that was won with much blood and much people dying in order for you to vote. So don't be discouraged. Vote your conscience. Vote your convictions in Christ. So, no, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. That ain't me to do that. Just don't vote for Fluffy and put him in the White House, okay? Fluffy ain't supposed to be in the White House, okay? Okay. I don't know. You know, yes. Okay. Fluffy is okay for, you can have him in the house and he be your little pet, but he's not going to be in the White House, okay? Don't try to put him there, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And why are you giving Fluffy all them special treatment at the veterinarian, which I don't say you should take Fluffy down, get his treatment, get his nails, get his shampoo, get his bath, get his medicine, get his daily checkup. Yeah, give him a health checkup. All that's good. But you walking past human beings and your nose is snuffed up. Wow. I know Fluffy, you know, animals, they return your love. You treat them good, they return their love. That's why a lot of people go to animals because they have better experience with human beings, and animals will return the love you give them. And so they're very loyal. So many people try to put all their loyalty and care into animals because they are sometimes inclusively drawn away from human beings and don't give love to them, or maybe they've been hurt or wounded, and so they just put all their love to animals. Now, when some of them died, brother, they leave all their $1 million to their dogs and cats.
Right.
And it's your money to do what you want to do with it, you know. But, okay, I just leave that alone. Okay. Hallelujah. I had a
brother,
horse when
on,
I was
no,
5 years
on,
old. And
keep on getting some tomatoes thrown at you, brother. Go ahead, keep on.
I want some yams now, brother. I don't want no. Well, I'm tired of tomatoes now. I want some yams,
okay.
Potato yams.
I want some
Japanese yam potatoes. Okay. So if y'all over in Japan, throw me some yams, Japanese yam. Is that okay? Okay. And if you're in Mexico, give me the Yukons. You can pass it on. If you're over there in Brazil, give me the mangoes and avocados in South America. Just throw it to me. I don't have enough of tomatoes, okay? Give that to Brother Nate. Him and Brother Robert are coming on, and you should listen to the blessing. If you want to be truly blessed, to hear the end-day message, turn to Brother Nathaniel Hunt and Brother Robert Gross, I think it's 4 days a week, on Sunday night, on the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed out of the scriptures and what the Lord is saying in these last days to his people, listen to Block Talk Radio 323-870-3403. Or if you're on your computer or whatever thing you got, you can go directly into it. But those that don't, you can call in on the telephone and you can listen. So if you've got a prayer request or you just want to listen on your telephone, please do so. No charge. Y'all don't charge anything, do you, Brother Nate, for listening, do you?
Oh, no. We don't. Oh, no. None of that.
None of that, huh?
None of that.
My heart goes out to the crying children and babies and the mothers who cannot feed their children. My heart goes out to them. Oh,
amen.
When you see those pictures about the children who are starving in their mother's arm, it just go to you. And while we're over here fighting over Fluffy and fighting over with all, you know, just fighting every day, have you gotten a whole book full of mudslinging? Because every day you turn to the news and every convention, whether it's Democrat, Progress, they're just slinging mud all over the place. That's all you hear. Listen to this mudslinging, brother, condemning, criticizing, getting vicious and name-calling. I wonder who's sitting on the pulpit, who's sitting in that community, where these Christians are just calling names and racist epithets and just saying all kind of mudslinging. I guess they must think the Lord is clapping his hand, right?
Yeah, they think that, brother, but they're wrong.
No, the Republicans can't be wrong. Brother, the conservative Republican cannot be wrong. Don't you understand that?
Oh, sure they can. Sure they
no.
can.
No. Because if you spend all your time blaming the Democrats and calling them names and being vicious and keeping up strife and hostility, sure we can reject sin and unrighteousness and speak against injustice, sure. But we don't have to be vicious full of hate, strife, hostility, anger, and racism. That's all I'm hearing. Mostly that's what I'm hearing. Condemning, pre-accusation, constroying between Republican, Democrats, and Socialists. And the devil is just sitting back clapping his hand, brother. He's so happy. The devil and the demons just shouting and jumping up and down. We fighting against flushing one another and destroying and calling names. And the demons are just, hooray, hooray, call them one more name for me. Give much and sling for me. That demon said, oh, I know. Ooh, I'm going to get a reward from the devil. I did a good job. Right.
Amen.
And you, America, we're supposed to stand against injustice, unrighteous, immorality, and evil, surely. But the vicious, unloving, uncaring, condemning, hostile, bitter, angry spirits that I'm hearing from Americans who claim to love America and supposed to love the other. But I can't love a Democrat, brother. He's Democrat. I gotta hate them. I can't love a Republican. No, brother. I can't do that. Can't do that. And I belong to the KK. I'm a KK, brother. I can't love this. I'm a BL. What they call BL movement? I gotta kill, murder, and steal, brother. This devil is getting a heyday out of our foolishness, bro. He is just taking advantage of our foolishness and our pride. He is just,
amen.
Demons are just, you can see the demons at these conventions. You can see the devil just jumping up and down. I mean, the demons just clapping their hands. How they're making a fool out of America. And to think about it, those who think they are wise are shown to be foolish. Because they think that all I got to do is call myself a patriot, I'm saving America, and I can do evil, I can speak condemning, destructive, I can call racist names, and I can call vile names, and the Lord will condone me doing that. And he just said, put love and wisdom in a basket. And the devil said, put your wisdom and your love in the closet and go for it, flush for flush. And now the demons are invading America with such open door because of our opening our mouths. And I just hear it from the White House to the church house to the schoolhouse to everywhere. And we think we're doing good. We think we're saving our nation. Now, brother, where are the churches that are standing up? Where are the redeemed by Christ that's standing up during all this time? Can you tell me where are they?
We're hiding in the corner. We're in the shadow. That's what we're doing. And brother, that's why the devil becoming more and more bolder.
Isn't
getting
he?
More bolder, we're getting more hiding. Yeah.
Now I'm talking. When this evil is pronouncing itself through our government, through our business, our entertainment, through our media, where is the redeemed, by saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled believers at, brother? Where the leadership of the church of this, the church of God in Christ, the assembly, the full gospel, the prophecy expert, the deliverance meeting, the intercessory, the holiness? I want to hear their voices crying out. Where are they, brother?
Yeah.
Where's the voice of the Church of Christ with Elijah's message? You hear them loud and clear leading the way?
No, brother, we in the background, brother.
Oh, my goodness. Is there no voice? If there is no word from the Lord our God? Listen, silence. you must either be for me or against me, the Lord says. You're either for me. Now we hear the voice of dissension, bitterness, unrighteousness, unforgiveness, racism, idolatrism, sodomitism, drugs, marijuana, LBJ. Where is the voice of the church, the body of Christ, the redeemed in Christ? Where are the leaders? Where are the prophets who stood up like John the Baptist and declared this hour to the nation, to our president, to our government, to our street? Make it clear the voice of the living God. But we hear mostly silence.
Amen.
Only the Pope is standing up for his little stuff. At least he says something now and then. At least he'll say something, even though it ain't, you know, whatever. Where's the voice that represents the living God, the kingdom of God, the Christ? Where's the leadership who claim that they're the this, they're the that, they're the holiness, they're the faith movement, they're this movement, they're that movement? Where are they declaring to the nation loud and clear on the radio, on the TV, in the streets? I don't hear too many voices, brother, representing the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, speaking out against all this evil in the White House, in the Democrats, in the Republicans, in the business, in the media, in the education system. Where are the voices of John the Baptist and Jeremiah and Hosea's and Elijah and Daniel's? Where are their voices? That's why I commend you, brothers, on Talk Block Radio. At least you are representing the King of Kings and the Church of Christ, the Elijah message, a city that sits on a hill that cannot be hid and must be heard. So I commend you,
amen,
brothers that come on the weekly, Brother Robert Cross, Brother Nate, and not just because you're my brother, but I commend the voice of the living God warning and awakening the people and exalting the people and renewing the people. So I thank God for your courage. Okay, this is a day to commend you,
amen,
for your effort. I know the devil is trying to beat y'all to a pulp, but I got my stick in my hand. I got my little rod, and I've been beating on that devil. I've been beating against that devil with my rod and my staff.
Amen.
Okay. Standing up for my brothers who are declaring the acceptable year in the way of the Lord God. So I appreciate you. And I appreciate Sister Anderson having the courage and boldness. And I appreciate her husband allowing her to stand forward. And I appreciate our evangelists and missionaries, both of them, Sister Helen and her husband, who stand with them and allowing them, permitting them. I do applaud their courage and their faith. And I see Sister Ola Don on Facebook. She's standing for. I appreciate her courage and her faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And such courage and daring, because there's such silent on the issues. Now, whenever in the Bible there was an issue in Israel, the Lord would send a prophetess or a judge or prophetess with a word from the Lord God. That's generally how it goes, right, brother?
Amen. That's right.
There would be no doubt where he stands, where the Lord God and where his rule of law, he made it clear. And oftentimes the message that the prophet brought to Israel got the prophet in great trouble. And sometimes, and many times, they was whooped, beat, run out of town, put in a dungeon, and sometimes killed. That we got in America, they been playing safe, brother. I'm not condemning it, but I'm just saying I don't hear the voice loud and clear like John the Baptist crying out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is ours. Behold the Lamb of God." And all this mystic chaos, confusion, he done made them stop beating together, praying together, fasting, seeking. He done closed that door down. He got them shaking. Why are they in the street marching in the Holy Ghost instead of marching these Black Lives Matter? That's not the way of justice, burning, looting. They even got the Ku Klux Klan. They got rifles and guns, and they're shooting. So both sides is giving way to the evil. Not just the Black Lives Matter, the KK, the white national supreme. They all practically most of them giving place to evil, to war
right.
against one another. Now, can I get my yams now?
Yeah, you can get it now, brother. You didn't get it. They on the stove cooking real strong. So here you can get it.
Amen. And now the devil, like I've been telling people 20 years, over 25 years, this race war, he's throwing fuel to this race war in these cities. I talk about this 25 years ago, 20 coming, this war with police and rioting and all these things in the cities and troops coming in and National Guards in the cities, which is coming, and that the racist attention and Washington has will come again. That same demon that never left, no, never left America, never left all this same racist demon, the same idolatry demon, this sodomite demon, this pagan Babylon demon has never left, will arise, and we will see war in the streets. Hallelujah. And I pray, and I ask that the redeemed body of Christ will fast and pray and stand in the gap and beat back the powers of darkness, because if they don't, well, anyway, let's move on. Let's move on. Now, have you ever heard this saying, one can chase a thousand? I think in, what is it, Psalms 90? And two can put 10,000 to a flight. What do you
Amen.
Think that indicate, brother?
Indicated two can do 10 times as more. It's more damage to the kingdom of the devil.
Well, so kind of give me a little small narrative on that, how that works.
Well, for example, when Jesus talks about the prayer of agreement, we know that, first of all, we're told to pray personally on the individual level. But we know that sometimes in certain situations there's a stronger demonic resistance, and it is called for another believer or two, which would open up to more power against the enemy. And there are certain cases that, you know, that will be so, as long as you're having demonic activity. And, brother, I think that's something that some Christians don't understand. So when they praying for a particular thing themselves and nothing come about, they gives up. And Jesus let us know that there's some instances where you're going to have another believer or two in prayer and exercise your authority against the enemy in certain situations.
What example do you get from the prophet Daniel when he was praying and interceding and fighting spiritual battles for Israel, the prophet Daniel?
Prophet Daniel. Well, I've seen that in dealing with the prophet Daniel, that we see that there are, Satan has assigned demonic spirits over cities, nations, things of that nature, and that they're assigned, as the Bible lets us know, that when Daniel prayed and the angel Gabriel said, hey, your prayer, your answer was sent in, but one of the prince of the king of Persia withstood me. And we knew that that was not a regular human standing the angel. It was a demonic spirit. And he had to call on the Lord to send Michael. And Michael, one of the archangels, came, therefore, to put down that evil spirit that was assigned by Satan over that region. So I get that from, and, you know, brother, that's the side, too, of prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare that many places, many churches stop short of talking about, you know.
Yeah.
They don't go deeper in prayer. They just tell you, just pray. And, you know,
yep.
You hear some people say, well, I've been praying. I've been praying every day, and it ain't no change. I've been praying. More times than not, you know, that's the initial sign that, you know, you're getting stronger demonic interference.
The first thing about starting praying, which is talking about his people. Now, here's the problem we got to divide. sinners are praying and righteous are praying. Now, here's the thing that people are not taught very well. It's not just praying. It's not just they open their mouth with words. It's important that they know, do they have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ wherein their prayers can be heard and mean and have power. Now, most people think, I'm praying, but you are a sinner. Your prayers are not going anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not moving God or the devil. And this is what you got to explain. Well, we all pray. I said, but are you born again? Have you been redeemed? Are you a citizen of the kingdom? Are you the righteousness of God? Well, I'm praying. Then the second prayer, who are you praying to?
Yeah.
Third, what are you praying? What manner of prayer are you praying? Fourth, do you have a inward relationship called redemption in Christ? Because the Bible makes it clear that God will not regard the prayers of sinners. In fact, in some cases, he said the prayer of the sinners is abomination. So therefore, you must get first redeemed and connected with Christ. Then he is covenant with you to answer your prayers. It's called the prayer of the righteous. Availeth much. Not prayer, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. That's why when I hear people put things, I know they leave out a valuable thing and give an instruction. The prayer of the redeemed, the prayer of the righteous in Christ, they prevail. And they have power against the enemy. Daniel was a holy, pure, and righteous man. Peter 1:15, he that is holy, who has called you, who he is holy, that you should be holy as he is holy. Now, Daniel being a holy prophet, fasting and praying and interceding in behalf, not just praying, interceding. There's a different type of prayer. Now, most Christians, most people know about begging, which I call begging. They mean well, good people. But they're usually begging. That's not the prayer that's going to move Satan or even move God. Now, God is a merciful God and kind God. But Christians must be trained and taught about spiritual warfare and intercession. Then they must be trained about the authority of command. If they don't understand, as a believer, you must command certain things. And decree. Thirdly, you must know the prayer of agreement. That means you got to get in agreement with other people of same mind. You must come in agreement. Matthew said in the prayer of agreement. Agreement with other people with what God says. You must come in agreement. Now, you can imagine this. You were to call for 100 people to intercede in spiritual warfare and intercession to the Lord God for 100 days and do battle like Daniel did in chapter 79 against the powers of darkness over Israel. First thing Daniel did, he repented. Now, the first thing is to have a breakthrough, start confessing and repenting your shortcomings, your sins, and your mistakes. That's the first thing that's going to move the Lord. That Satan cannot handle your prayers anymore. Then there are people who have left God, once knew God, walked out of God and think all they got to do is just say a few words. No, you got to get right with God. You got to get right with Christ. You got to return to Christ. You got to get a covenant with Christ again before your prayers will stop Satan and move heaven. Okay, what do you think about that?
Amen. I agree. That's true. That's true. You know, brother, some people think they can just go away from the Lord and just step back and come in with no problem, no repentance. And they lay on the thing that God is merciful and long-suffering. And I'm going to translate that for you to them. That means that you can get over on God. That's the mentality of some people.
and professing to be Christians, that because of his long suffering, I just say I'm back, you know.
Well, here's the thing about how prayer with the living God, because many people are praying over the earth, but they're not praying to the living God. Now, here's the thing. They may be honest and sincere and good intention. They don't have a relation. They don't have a redeemed relationship with Jesus Christ. They're not in Christ, and Christ's not in them. I didn't say, well, I go to church. I didn't say that. When I talk to people, they always bring this up, because I don't mention church. You know why? When I witness people, I don't mention church in the first part of my witness. I don't remember. I don't witness them about church. I witness to them about their spiritual condition, how they can change their spiritual condition. Sure, going to church can be good and often is in a part of the equation later, but I don't mention church. There's a reason why I don't remember church, because the devil has used the word church to deceive many people. So I don't mention church. I mention the Redeemer, the Lamb, the Savior, the Deliverer. Where is your relationship with him? I don't mention church. Well, I didn't say nothing about church. I said, I'm for church. But I didn't mention nothing about church. I didn't mention two things I don't mention to people when I'm talking about witness. I don't mention religion in church, because the first thing, the devil gonna get them. I go to church. I'm religious, or I'm a good person. Those are the three tricks that the devil pulled on people. I go to church now and then. I'm religious. I'm not so bad. These are the big strategies to trick and deceive people, thinking that make them acceptable to God. That make them acceptable. Oh, I was baptized 20 years ago. I was baptized with water there, Brother Nate. I'm all right. That's another trick.
Yeah.
Another strategy of the enemy. Now, because every born-again Christian must know what war is, spiritual war is. They're not taught to in a lot of places about spiritual warfare. Now, if you all, because you all going to get on this subject about intercession and spiritual warfare, right? All right, Brother Robert and Brother Nate, going to get in there about the different areas of command and deliverance and decrees. Not begging. There's a difference between petitioning, a difference between a petitioning and different types of prayer, who call travail, intercession, spiritual warfare, commands, decrees, a spoken word. And unless we teach people how to war, a spiritual war, a battle, according to the scriptures, we may not be very effective. Second, the most important thing, I hear people all praying. I say, who are you praying to? Second, I said, do you know him? Does he know you? Oh, me and the man. What man? When did you get in touch with the man? When did the man get into your life? When did he transform you? When did he redeem you? Are your sins covered, hidden, broken? Therefore, when you come to want to win a battle, you humble yourself at the mercy seat. If you're a Christian, you say, oh, Lord. And let the Holy Spirit say, oh, you've been slothful in this area, get rid of this. You've been a little rebellious, get rid of this. Get rid of this. If you got bitterness, get rid of this. If you get anger when you start, you're going to get rid of it. You're holding this hostility, get rid of that. Because you have to get rid of those things that's going to hinder you from winning the war and the battle and moving heaven. Daniel fasted for 21 days and prayed. But the types of prayers that he was praying is different from the prayers that we pray. Well, we need to learn how to pray. Go read and see what the prophets, how they prayed. How Daniel, how Abraham, how Hosea, how Jeremiah prayed. Go see how Moses interceded. Go see how Abraham interceded. How David interceded. How he commanded the power of darkness and battled against them. Amen. Now, you're not going to win no battle if you hate your neighbor down the street, brother. That ain't gonna work. That's not gonna work now. You and the neighbor going at it every day. Y'all got to bid a few days. You're going to fight against the devil. No, you got to get your own pride and your own flesh in order first. That's why you got to repent and confess and acknowledge your failings and the blood of Jesus before you get into battle. Because you're going to have to put on your whole armor of God. Why do you think the Apostle Paul in the New Testament says, what is it, 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of your warfare? What is he talking about?
Amen.
I'm a good old church deacon, choir, clan clapping servant. Why was he talking to me about some warfare? The weapons of your warfare. War the good fight of faith. War against who? Who are you warring against? You got to war first against your own flesh, your own pride, self of your flesh. Now you got to deal with the ungodly who are persecuting you. You can't war against them. You got to bind the enemy over them and forgive them. Thirdly, you got to war against the demonic powers over your community, over your area, over your territory. Like, just like Paul did, like Peter did, like Daniel did, like David did, warring in the heavens, binding the strong man. Yes, most Christians said, what do you mean, Matthew, Jesus said, when you're going to battle, first bind the strong man? What are you talking about? I don't know no wrestlers. Why should I bind a wrestler? Well, you're going to wrestle with flesh and blood. Your battle is not against human flesh and human ability. Your battle is against the invisible forces of demons that's influencing and controlling. So what do you think when Jesus said in the 12th chapter of Matthew, if you're going to spoil enemy's territory, you got to first bind the strong man? What is he talking about?
Amen.
Why you got to learn what to bind over your territory, over your city, or over your home? What Jesus mean, bind the strong man? And then you can spoil him. You can defeat him when you know what the strong man is. Wow. Do you know that America has got 5 or 6 strong men? Do you think?
Yeah.
When I look at the, I can't listen to those debates and I don't even look at
right.
them. Because I might get sick. And
we don't want you to get sick, brother, so that's good you ain't watch.
So, now, when Jesus said, there is a strong man assigned from Satan over a city, over a territory, over a nation, over communities, over homes, over streets and areas, a strong man. What is he talking about? I got to come against the strong man first. Jesus said, what did Paul say? The weapons of my warfare are what? 2 Corinthians. Why do I need to know what my weapons of my warfare are? For what?
Amen.
All I got to do, brother, is just go to church and say the sweet, solemn prayer. That's going to take care of all, right?
Right.
That's not what the Bible says about dealing with principalities and powers and strongholds, that the first area is sweet prayers of going to church in Solomon. But if you don't learn who your enemy is and how to defeat him and war against him, you're going to get beaten to the ground and smite.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 10 says, the weapons of our warfare. He's talking to the redeemed church of Christ now. They don't learn warfare and intercession and travailing like Daniel did, like David did, Abraham did, and Enoch, and all of those learn. If we don't learn that today, we're going to get smacked around and defeated. That's how I know.
Amen.
The devil got all these Democratic parties, our whole government, practically most of our government, fighting and warring internally, fleshly wars against one another. And many of these are Christian, conservative Christians. So what are we going to do with this, what Paul called putting on the armor, the weapons of our war? Why we got to put on the weapons of our warfare? Okay. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, then he says, 6th chapter of Ephesians, we don't war against flesh and blood like you see them doing on TV in these different areas. It is just a shame to our nation that the world is looking on us for leadership and direction. The world has lost respect for America. Why do you think the nations of the world have lost respect for America?
Well, for one thing, America has turned away from the true and living God. You know, when you look at it, especially when you look in what happened with Israel, whenever Israel stayed in that place with God, the enemies wouldn't even fight them because they said, well, you know, hey, their God is with them. But once Israel forsook the Lord, those nations can tell that they weren't, quote, connected with the Lord.
Why do you think many of the leaders of the free world and the third world nations and government kings are laughing at us and laughing about our government behind their back and making fun and have no real respect? The United Nations and other nations don't have any high regard for America. It used to be the leader nation. Why is it they laughing at us?
Because definitely we think we're smart in particular areas because of the pride that we're in, but actually we're missing the whole thing completely. And those nations know the certain things that you do, how you can cause things to come on you that is not good. America think that she's untouchable, that she can't be touched by anything.
Now, do you think the nation who's an enemy to America, an enemy to the Christian values, Russia, Putin, is laughing at us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely. Because they notice, brother, that it doesn't take much to get us stirred up against one another.
What about Kim Jong, that Korean guy, and China, his leader, sitting back and looking at you think he's laughing at us? Laughing at our government, our leadership, our direction, and our area?
Oh, yeah. Because they feel like, hey, y'all ain't even got no control in dealing with your people.
But it's not just the people. It has to go to the head.
Right.
You see? See, because where the king is, there's power. And where there's no king directing, there is foolishness. Now, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are warring. And warring spirits are in every, you can feel them as you go out of your house. And there's spirits of what you call depression, oppression, strife, bitterness, fear. Now, the strong man, can you name me 3-4 strong men that's over our government, over our media, our education system, and now is kind of creeping into the what we call the church of the Christian synagogues? What strong man, 3 strong men, is probably working over America in these days? What strong man would you see?
The first one I see is Leviathan working over the White House. That demonic spirit is working some kind of fears in our government, in many, in the leadership. That's what I
that's one of the things I see, spirits that are in operation, you know, against us. And many, what they call, incubus and succubus spirits at work. Yeah.
Okay.
And these, you know, sexual perverted, you know, demonic spirits.
Okay. Now, I will give just a couple of hints for the sister. Come on. The communists in Marxism and socialism years ago, way in the 60s and 70s, had a plan how to conquer America. That plan was destroy her moral fiber, her morality, her worship of her God. So they designed to do it three ways. One is through drugs and pleasure. Thirdly, to perversion. Since the late 60s, we've seen more spirit of perversion in America. You have seen all kind of immorality, sexual perversion hit America. Drugs, alcohol, pleasure, greed. And the third one is racism to divide and conquer. Now, these strongmen that's over this, then he says we're going to hit it with all these religious spirits, socialism, Islamism, Hinduism, all these other will come into America. And then they will get the head leaders to call not just a Christian nation anymore, but a universal nation. They will change the name, and they would you see governors in prayer, they said this is a universal name. They don't call it a Christian nation anymore, a Bible-based nation. The strong man has got them to renounce their Christian inheritance. Okay. We'll get into later on about the different strong men that's ruling over our community that we have to attack, over our churches. But anyway, it is important that Jesus said, if you're going to win the battle or conquer, in the 12th chapter, when he cast out this demon, he asked this demon of this person, what's your name? He says, my name is Legion. And he says, he begged Jesus not to send him out of his territory. So here we are, learning how to battle and win spiritual battles. You're not going to win or change America by political, socials. Those are temporary things. You can pass laws and give us equality in the workplace. Those are good things, but they are temporary things. They don't change the hearts and minds of people. Okay, then, where are our sisters and brothers at? I mean, our sisters at, women of God. You know they have changed.
We'll give them a minute.
Do you know they have changed the marriage? Most people don't know how the devil is going to destroy, how he's going to get his strong man. He's got a strong man over now. You know how the devil will conquer a nation? I told you about this special curse about marriage, why he doesn't. He's pushing relationships, all kinds of sexual relations, and that you don't have to follow the rules, the laws, the covenant of marriage, a legal marriage anymore. You could just get together and say we married and we sugar pies and herb pie. And this leaves this demon, this stronghold, a legal right to come and set up a deception. That's why that other stronghold of abortion killing babies has been set up. See, these strong men has pushed killing babies, innocent blood, like Ahab. It's called the Ahab and Jezebel spirit. Because Jezebel killed the babies, offered them to their gods, innocent babies. She would get little babies and offer them to the god of fire and throw them into the fire to their witchcraft and Satan's god. Now, we're throwing babies in the fire of sexual perversion and killing them. Anybody happy?
Amen.
Because we're doing the same thing Ahab Jezebel doing. And that nation was cursed. The strong man over killing innocent shedding blood. Oh, my God. People are saying that this is women's rights. The same day in Ahab and Jezebel in Israel, the women, she was the ruler, and Jezebel would rule over Ahab, and she was the strong man through her, and the women would take it, I have the right over my body. I have the right what to do with my body. See, that's that demon telling them they have a right of their own body to kill whatever in their body. Now, they don't tell you that they couldn't have a baby without the man, so the man don't have anything to say.
Yeah.
I got to rule over my body. Well, why do you need a man to make a baby? Come on now. If same-sex marriage is so great, then the whole world just have same-sex, what they call, say, two-sex. Why do you need a male and female to make a life? The homosexual has to go and adopt because he can't make no baby, right? They can't make no baby.
That's right.
Oh, I love you. But Jesus loves you. He loves you. He loves all sinners because he came to seek and save all sinners to deliver them. All right, then, where are the sisters? You got your 15 minutes. Where you at?
That's welcome, Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
God bless you, brothers. God bless you. I was a little late getting on, but I've been listening to that great conversation, and all I can say is that I agree. I totally agree.
Okay, sister, what do you want to say to your sisters around the world?
Well, this conversation that's been going on, I think, is very needful and very important. Because of the times that we are living in. And I just thank and praise God that it is going on, that we need to pay attention, you know, because even when the word tells us the first bind the strong man, and just listening to the conversation, and I know it's more than just that to it, because of all of the different spirits and the different strong men that are over these different countries and places now, that we really need to band together. And as I was listening, I did hear the conversation, you know, and I know about and I heard about one chase a thousand and two ten thousand, that we really now need to be coming together. And the Lord has really, I've been praying, the Lord has given me a special prayer to pray, really to pray. And it's about, you know, coming together. And that we will be in a place that we will put on that whole armor and to be able to bind that strong man. And the word is so true, and so true of the things, the Antichrist and all of the socialisms and, you know, the women that got now where, as you were saying, that about in order to make a baby needing a man. Oh, they don't got now where they can go and buy the sperm. They can just buy it now, you know. So, you know,
so they can't make a baby without a man. See, you can't make a life without a man. That means when I say a man, you can't. You have to have the seed of the man.
Yes.
You can't create life. That's why God made the male and the female, and you have to use the man's sperm. That's the only way. That's why they now freeze men's sperms and sell them or whatever they do. You cannot create life. That's the way God made it. And so they don't have the physical man, but they take his life cell or his sperm to create or cause a life. Now, if you were to have all women and they married one another, all men, there would be no more life created. If God meant it that way, then he just could put homosexuals on the island and it's all good and there would be no more, all of them would die out.
That's right. Amen. That's true.
So let's look at God's natural law of creation. Natural law teaches us the ignorance that if the foolishness take over America as a strong man in Romans 1. This is why when you want to weaken a nation, you look on that telegram, they had devised a plan from the White House how to weaken the black community was to send a homosexual spirit.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get a lot of young potato for this.
True anyway. That's why we have to pray for our government, for our presidents and the cabinet and the senators and representatives, Supreme Court. I mean, they all need help, and they all have these spirits over them.
In the 60s, in order to, from the FBI and that demon in the FBI, Hoover, a controlled demon transsexual, J. Edgar Hoover, wanted to stop the black power movement, they came up with a plan in CI to put heroin or cocaine in the black community in order to control them, elucid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I'm just telling you like it is.
Amen.
All these evil are demonic-inspired ideas to control, dominate, and destroy.
Yeah.
So I'm exposing it that the Marxist spirit that has been put to damage to control America, one was the homosexual spirit, one was the drug, the psychedelic spirit was loose upon us. Then the other spirit was stronghold was where Margaret Singer wanted to kill all the black babies, called Planned Parenthood.
Right.
That spirit,
right.
She raised up this woman, Margaret Singer, to control the birth in the black community. you remember how they wanted to control the birth in Israel? They wanted to kill all the babies because they were having too many children and they was outnumber them?
Yeah.
Oh, we just got a lovely America now. America just done went into a deep ditch.
Yes, sure enough.
But we still got some good and wonderful people in America. We still got some good, excellent, wonderful people. They may not be a whole lot, but we got them. We have them. Thank God for them. But I'm exposing the cover. I'm helping Brother Nate and Brother Robert, who's going to be on Brock Talk Show. Where I'm opening the door so they can jump in and get started.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And you're doing a good job, brother. You're doing a good job.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love people, no matter what state of sin in. When I was in the army, the homosexual, I didn't hate them, and they would come to me. I treated them. When the hillbillies, and when I was in the military, the hillbillies would come to me. I didn't hate them because they were hillbilly whites. They would talk to me. The homosexual would come to me because I treated them as human beings. Okay?
Yeah.
I treated them as human beings, no matter what curse of sin they were in, because the Lord looked on me with mercy. And so I had to look on them with mercy. And so we have to understand the difference, what we call deliverance love, redemption love. Not love, when you hear that word, well, God love me. No, I'm talking about redemption love. I'm talking about deliverance love to be reconciled to God. That is a different type of love that Jesus gave to came to redeem us from the curse of sin and spiritual death. That type of love is called redemption from the Father to the Son of God to redeem us from this curse. Oh, God loves me, loves me. That's why he sent Jesus. That's what I'm trying to tell you. He loves you. He sent Jesus for you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now,
amen.
Can you see Jesus with a marijuana and a cigarette and a glass in his hand celebrating a holiday? Can you see Jesus with a cigarette which has been laced with heroin and smoking one pack a day, and then he got a little glass, and then he got another man on his sideline said, "This is my wife. And then I'm taking my drug, marijuana, and then I don't associate with black people." Can you see Jesus doing all this stuff?
Yeah.
They're painting a wrong picture, picture of Jesus and Christianity.
Yeah.
Because the redemptive love of Christ the powerful miracle redemptive love of Jesus Christ that called him to leave heaven, take upon flesh and blood, surrender his life, and bear our sins and our iniquity and our curses to bring us to the Father, to set us free, has been, they are distorting the truth in the Bible, and they are now getting, even the Democrats, and many of them are trying to stop the Bible, just like some of the Republicans who talk the Bible, but they're not living it. They were, the Republicans, they talk about this Bible scripture, that scripture, but they ain't doing it. See, that's the problem. They'll quote all the Republicans, they're for the Bible, they're for prayer, but they got this hate in their hearts against people. They got this greed. So therefore, they'll talk about the Bible and they'll make rules and talk up and get in the convention and talk about God, but they ain't living it.
Amen.
They don't fool me with that stuff that the Democrats are the only devils. They don't fool me with that stuff.
Amen.
You have not seen one come out and rebuke our president. We're supposed to honor our president. He's been womanizing, lying, cheating, and deceiving. I haven't yet. We only had a few Republicans lately. Just lately, a few Republicans came out and stood up. They were all in line, covering up for sin and evil. They wouldn't even tell him that he was wrong.
Amen.
It's just them horrible Democrats. It's just them horrible Democrats. And they hiding behind Republican conservatives, and they refuse to rebuke sin and iniquity. So both are guilty. The horrible Democrats and the horrible sinners and Republicans and the horrible in the converts and the horrible in the progressive and the horrible sin everywhere.
Amen.
So that means the church world got to repent too and got to confess too.
Yes.
I say got to start exile. That means we started, when you get before God in this prayer, you will start confessing. If you reach touch God, the first thing you will start to do is confessing your failure and your falling. There's no way you could get in the presence of God and don't start confessing. Oh, you're going to tell me that stuff. You ain't going to tell me that. There's no way you're going to get in the presence and start praying. You're going to see your need to confess and acknowledge.
Then
you're going to start afterwards doing repentance with a broken heart and a contrite spirit.
Yes.
The Elijah message is a message of reconciliation and deep repentance and acknowledging and coming to being reconciled to the living God. Elijah came and reconciled the whole nation of Israel. Hallelujah. I said Elijah of Israel reconciled them. If Jehovah be God, step on over here.
Jesus. Yes, Lord.
The Church of Christ is supposed to be leading the way. The other Christian groups that are high in the light of God are supposed to be leading the way.
Yes.
Their voices are supposed to be heard loud and clear.
Jesus. Amen.
And so we had to awaken and stir up our hearts.
Amen.
And humble ourselves. And as we come to the end, listen, we got to stir up our hearts. We're going to ask God to stir up our hearts. Because we got to sanctify our hearts again. We got to sanctify our hearts again. America has fallen far away. And is she near the crisis where she's going to be destroyed? I saw it in 2020, 2000 years, 2.5 years. I saw it that America in 2020, almost at the end of the year, undoable shaka. And I was looking at it in 2017, I saw 2020.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. We better.
Jesus.
Yes, sir. And so all you in any part of the world and all my sisters and brothers, I know you are drawing near and searching and seeking and crying out for America. And America should be coming to your rescue, and you're crying out for America. So we want to thank you.
Jesus.
All you believers. But you're interceding in Africa for America, in the Philippines for Africa, in Australia, interceding for America. Oh, our African brothers, the Holy Spirit is moving great among the African people, among the Philippines, great in China, great in Central America, America, but not great in America.
My Lord.
And so, Lord, we're going to have to break our hearts. So as we pray and invite you in all parts of the world, our dear sisters, our wives, and all in every nation, God has touched, Jesus has touched with the feeling of your need, your hunger to feed your kids, to teach, to train, to prepare them for the next generation. You need medical attention. You need teachers. You need clothes. You need to come from under oppression. So wherever you are, if you don't have a Bible, you have a Bible, turn your Bible to the gospel and read it every day. Begin to read the gospel of Christ. Read it and study it and read it again and study it until you get it runs out of your nose, and then call on the living God. He will bring deliverance to you and your lamb. He will bring deliverance. He will bring deliverance from the strong man over your land and over your place.
Yes,
we love you with the love of God. If we can help you, dial the number, a text, or Instagram, and whatever we can do, we will do. To all the mothers who can't feed their children, we pray for you. To all those that are crying, seeing your children without water, without milk. Now, Father, we come. To those that are outside of the covenant of Christ, to those that want life in Christ, say, Lord Jesus, you came in this world to give life and give redemption, to redeem me from the curse of sin and death, sickness, disease, and poverty. I believe your word. I make you my Lord. Come live your life in me. Wash away my sins. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, risen from the dead, saved to the uttermost. Change, transform my life. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Lord.
And direct my steps. Direct my life. Help my family and my nation in Jesus' name. Now, we love you with the love of God.
Yes,
amen.
Yes,
we'll be on it tomorrow night. Talk short.
We'll be on at 7
amen.
O'clock tonight. Look for another broadcast, Blog Talk Radio, Heart to Heart, Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And so, once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. To Brother Lee, Brother Nate, and Sister Anderson, we love you. God bless you. God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
God bless.